You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 43, Rediscovering the Joy of Your Salvation. You know, I just took a survey of well over 1,000 Catholics asking them if their faith made them joyful or joyless. I'm going to share with you the results, which are surprising, and then we'll talk about some advice and practical applications. And this is part one of a two-part series on joy, Christian joy, all coming up next. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to talk to you about finding the joy of your salvation. Psalm 51, verse 12 reads this way, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." But how does this happen? Well, the good news is that the Bible presupposes that we can sometimes and do lose the joy of our salvation. Otherwise, we wouldn't read that in Psalm 51 where it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Here we see that the joy of salvation has been lost. And as followers of Christ, we experience this from time to time. Sometimes it's a dry period of just a few days. Sometimes it's weeks, months, years, maybe even decades. And I was prompted to investigate this topic recently because I had someone leave a comment, and it really broke my heart. And I'm going to share that comment with you today from a Catholic. You know, I often talk about on the podcast and on my blog and in NSTI and in the videos, I talk about positive Catholicism. I believe that if we are true Christians and true followers of Jesus Christ, we should be optimistic, we should be changing the world, we should be making an eternal impact in our culture, and we should have joy in our hearts and a smile on our face. And I really believe that we should be out there and people should be looking at us and saying, those people are transformed. They shouldn't see a bunch of dour, discouraged people with their heads down, depressed. I mean, that's not, I think, what Christ came to give us. He said, "I came to give you joy." That's what Christ said. "I came to give you joy." So my heart was really broken when I read this comment. I'm going to read it. I'm going to leave it anonymous. But the comment, which was published in the public, so I'm not revealing anything that's private, goes like this. "I'm a lifelong Catholic here, 40 years. I have a hard time finding any impulse to share the faith. I can defend it, sure, but evangelize? Why? It's intellectually consistent and defensible, but when the rubber meets the road, it's a grueling, joyless slog. Much better to let people take their chances with invincible ignorance." End quote. Wow. A joyless slog. So I read that comment. It broke my heart. I prayed for this person. I thought, how many other people feel this way? I know that I myself have felt this way, both as when I was a Protestant and after becoming a Catholic. I've had those times where I think to myself, man, is being Catholic just a big list of rules to get bogged down in? You know, am I ever going to feel like, you know, I'm making progress, or that God loves me, or there's reassurance? I've had those feelings. And I think that's a minority of the time for myself. I always snap out of that. My wife does a great job of helping me see all the great things that God's done for us and having gratitude for all the blessings in this life. And we talk a lot about gratitude in this podcast. But I was curious as to how many people felt this way. So I created a survey and I put it up on my blog at taylormarshall.com. And the response was fantastic. Thank you so much, all of you who participated in this survey. In fact, we had 1,673 686 participants of people who came in here and went through the survey. It was a short survey. It took less than a minute. And I want to go through the results with you right now. I'm going to share the questions I asked and then how people answered them. Now, the first question went like this. How would you describe your Catholic life and attitude? And we left four options here. The first one was, being Catholic makes me more peaceful and upbeat. Okay, actually it said, being Catholic makes me more peaceful and upbeat than other people. The second one was, being Catholic keeps me sane, but not necessarily upbeat. The third one was, being Catholic is a life of guilt and regret, and I secretly wish that I could quit it. And then the fourth one, being Catholic is a grueling, joyless slog. The only reason I stay is out of fear of hell. So those are the four options. And I tried to word these in a way that someone would actually feel the answer. Okay. So the first one, I'm glad to say 76% of you responded that being Catholic makes me more peaceful and upbeat than other people. So that's great. So three out of four people who took this survey actually believe and feel that being a Catholic Christian makes them more peaceful and more upbeat. Thanks be to God, right? That's wonderful. Now, some people here, about 23%, so that's about a little over one out of five, said being Catholic keeps me sane, but not necessarily upbeat. Okay, so, you know, they're not depressed, they're not going, you know, crazy or discouraged or anything, but, you know, it's not something that's the joy, the center of joy in their life. Now, the last two questions I'm going to group together. Now, fortunately, this was a minority answer, but it's still there, and we need to talk about it in today's podcast. So 25 people who responded to it said, being Catholic is a life of guilt and regret, and I wish I could secretly quit it. And then 22 people said, being Catholic is a grueling, joyless slog. The only reason I stay is out of fear of hell. So this podcast is really, I mean, it's for all of us, but really for us to, if we're one of those people, to find the joy again. And even if we are one of the people who find peace and joy in Christ as Catholics, to help others around us not experience life in Christ as a joyless slog. All right. Now, this kind of brings us to the proverb of the week. And the proverb of the week is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. And it reads like this, quote, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones," end quote. I love this proverb. You know, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. You know, sometime, you know, I think you smile not with your mouth, you smile with your eyes. Anyone can kind of curl the edges of their mouth up, but a true smile, you can see a smile like in a photograph or in a video of someone, you see it in their eyes. There's a twinkle, there's a way that the eyes turn that you can't fake. When you're really happy, the eyes smile. And that might be what's going on here in this proverb. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. There's a connection between your eyes and your heart, the very core of who you are, the center of your soul. And then the second half of this proverb reads, good news refreshes the bones. Here in Hebrew, the heart and the bones are being used in parallel because the heart is the center of your physical anatomy and the bone is the deepest part of your anatomy. So what the author is doing here is he's referring to the deepest part of who you are. And he's saying the light of the eyes rejoices the heart and good news refreshes the bones. Now, the good news about good news is that it is the gospel. You know, I sometimes wish in English that we didn't use the word gospel to translate the Greek word euangelion. Euangelion is the Greek word used in the gospels and in the New Testament for the good news or the gospel that Jesus preaches. So, you know, Jesus goes out and he proclaims the gospel. And in Greek, it's euangelion. Eu is like a little prefix there that means good or well. And angelion means message, news, announcement. So Christ comes preaching the good news, the good announcement. Glad tidings. And the people that hear it are glad and joyful. It's good news. Unfortunately, some Christians aren't in touch with the good news. Instead, they see it as bad news. And then people who have left the faith often see following Christ as bad news. It's a bunch of rules of things that you can't do. How sad that is, right? The good news is that God loves us. He wants to have mercy on us, and he doesn't want to leave us where we're at. He wants to transform us into something gorgeously beautiful, a saint. He wants to transform us into someone who is holy. And someone who is holy, let me tell you, is irresistible. People love a truly holy person. Now, St. Teresa of Avila has a great quote, which goes like this, quote, "The Lord loveth not a sour saint," end quote. God does not want bitter, sour saints. He came to give us joy and that our joy might be complete. He came to give us abundant life. Now, just pause here and ask yourself, is my life abundant? Is it full of joy? And to the extent that it's not, is to the extent that you haven't fully ingested the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you. He came all the way from heaven, was conceived and born from the Immaculate Womb of the Virgin Mary. He grew up and he suffered the most painful and gruesome death. And that whole entire time, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you, not just humankind in a generic way. He was specifically thinking of you and loving you. And when he rose from the dead, he was loving you, you specifically. And he sent you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves and thinks about you and dwells in you. And he's constantly doing all that he can with all of these graces and gifts to draw you closer to himself. That is good news. No religion in town has that much good news. Oh, and let's throw on some extra things as well. He gave you his mother to be your spiritual heavenly mother and queen. Oh, the night before he died, he instituted this mysterious ritual, this sacrament, so that you could be united to him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity every single day of the week, if you so desire. Oh, he also introduced this sacrament whereby which if you make a really big mess up, a mistake, a mortal sin, you can be restored and receive grace again, the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. As you can see, he's constantly pouring down graces, and that is good news. Now, there was someone who commented on this comment of the person who said, you know, being Catholic is a joyless slog. Why would I ever share it to anyone else? And one of our readers, her name is Christina Martin. So Christina, if you're listening, howdy. Christina said, you know, you need to feed yourself before you feed others. And I love that. And I wanted to mention it in the podcast. You know, it's true. If you feel that being a Christian, a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ is a joyless slog and you don't want to share the gospel because it's not something wonderful to you, please don't do it, right? Because you won't be a good witness. Like Christina says, you must feed yourself so that you can feed others. Only share the gospel out of the joy that bubbles up from your own heart. If there's no joy there, then don't presume to share the good news. So we must first be filled with the good news and then share the good news. Okay, so back over to the survey, we'll go to question two. And I think this is the most important question of the questions we asked. The question goes like this. When I picture Jesus looking at me, I see blank. And there's three options here. Number one, I see a smiling Jesus cheering me on and encouraging me. Or two, a Jesus looking the other way at more important people or events. Or number three, I see a stern Jesus asking me questions about my sins, failures, and lack of piety. Okay, so those are the three options. And what were the results? So the number one result was the first one. I see a smiling Jesus cheering me on and encouraging me. 1,449 of you answered that response, which is about 88%, which surprised me. I was like, wow, this is really a good sign. Most of the readers of my blog, 88% of them, when they picture Jesus, they see Jesus smiling and cheering and encouraging them. I think that's wonderful. Now, the second most popular response was the last one, which was, I think, the kind of the saddest one. And that was answered by 176 readers, or almost 11% of the Catholics who took this poll said, I see a stern Jesus asking me questions about my sins, failures, and lack of piety. Now, of course, when we read the Gospels, we do see a stern Jesus sometimes. We see him confronting the Pharisees, confronting the Sadducees, confronting hypocrites. But when it comes to sinners, we see a Jesus who is very gentle and merciful and loving. When he's in the presence of the prostitute, he doesn't begin to ask a lot of questions. We see tenderness. So when we see a stern Jesus in the scriptures, we see a stern Jesus in the presence of the self-righteous. We see a stern Jesus in the presence of the Pharisee. We see a stern Jesus standing and questioning the person who judges others in order to elevate themselves above the rest. So if you find yourself as a hypocrite, judging other people, being a Pharisee, you know, sometimes, you know, the thought may come into your brain, oh, look at all these Catholics that, oh, do they really even believe in the Eucharist? And, oh, look at these, I bet they don't even go to confession that often. Or, oh, look at that family, I bet they use contraception. If that's the attitude that you've developed, that you've habituated, where you're looking down at other people in order to make yourself feel better, yes, maybe you have a stern Jesus, because that's what we see in the Gospels. But if you're struggling with your sins and you're looking to him for love and for mercy, and you get up again and again and say, forgive me, you're looking at a smiling, merciful, loving Jesus. Now, the third answer, which was not answered by as many people, was I see a Jesus looking the other way at more important people and more important events. That was about 5% of you answered in that way. And I would just say nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is not looking away from you at more important people and more important events. The attention that Jesus has for us is not a zero sum game. What do I mean by that? Zero sum means that there's only one pie and so many pieces. So if there's 100 people in the room and each of them get 1/100th of a slice of the pie, that means that if an extra person comes in the room, the 101st person, there's no pie for that person. This would be like saying, I have 7 children and I have this much love in my heart. Therefore, if I have an 8th child, there will be no love for the 8th child because there's only so much love in my heart. What happens on the supernatural scale, in the supernatural economy, is that love is always magnified. It's not added and subtracted, it's multiplied. So Jesus always has more and more love in a multiple way towards us. So it's not like if one sinner needs, you know, to pray and to seek his attention, it takes his attention off any of the rest of his disciples. No, his attention is 100% on you all the time. Let me repeat that. Jesus' attention is on you 100% of the time and will be forever. You are the apple of his eye and he loves you. So don't ever see Jesus looking off at more important people or more important events. He's looking at you and he's concerned about you in this moment and he cares for you so much. Now, the third out of four questions was the Catholic faith is blank. And I gave four options. A, the Catholic faith is good news for the brokenhearted in need of mercy. It's the treasure of my heart. B, it's just as good as the Protestant version of Christianity. C, it's just a bunch of rules that are hard to keep. Or D, a nonsensical religion based on guilt and manipulation. Well, the good news here is that 95% of you, thanks be to God, chose A. You said the Catholic faith is good news for the brokenhearted in need of mercy. It's the treasure of my heart. Second place, with only about 3%, was it's a bunch of rules that are hard to keep. So again, that's unfortunate. And then the next one was just as good as Protestant versions. That was only about 1%. And then a little half percent, micro percent, that it's a nonsensical religion based on guilt and manipulation. And to that final one, I would say, you know, Catholicism, Catholic Christianity, is a airtight religion that embraces not just faith, but reason. Not just theology, but philosophy and science. We are not afraid of university studies. We are not afraid of science. We are not afraid of logic or philosophy. Now, yes, there are people in the universities and in the academies who do want to deceive us and who do alter scientific experiments and facts to persuade people to turn away from Christ. Of course they do. But we as Catholics, the Catholic Church has never been afraid of embracing science, true science, and true logic, and true reason, and true philosophy, because we know that God is the author of all truth. God is the author of scientific truth, factual truth, historical truth, and theological truths. So we don't have to be worried that somehow the faith is contrary to reality. Instead, we Christians embrace reality as created by God. So that last one, it's a nonsensical religion, is not the case. And then also it says, based on guilt and manipulation. Unfortunately, there have been people in the Catholic Church, lay people, nuns, monks, deacons, priests, bishops, cardinals, and yes, even popes, who have used illicit means to manipulate other people. And yes, people have used guilt to manipulate other people and to hide their own sins, and that's regrettable. But I think generally, most of the people have goodwill, and I also think that we as Christians do not, at the end of the day, this is going to be a little bit controversial. At the end of the day, we as Catholic Christians are followers of Christ and not necessarily the followers of your lay neighbor, your local monk, your local nun, your local priest or deacon or bishop or cardinal. Yes, they have a role to play. Yes, God has instituted them in their places. But at the end of the day, we follow Christ. There have been times when there have been popes that were not so good. There have been people who have lived under bishops like Nestorius who were heretics and who were later condemned as heretics. But those Christians in their heart first followed Jesus. And if you have that, you have the right orientation, right? You're going to make it out okay. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Christ crucified. You stand at the foot of the cross with Mary and John, the beloved apostle, and right there you are completely secure, no matter what happens. Okay, now, this is the most interesting question. It may not be the most important question, but it's the most interesting question. This was an optional question on the survey, and it went like this. Which of the following would help you find joy, peace, serenity, and fulfillment as a Catholic? And then I left a number of options. And the number one was finding a mentor or spiritual director. 58% or 918 of you said that would be the number one thing to help me in my life right now as a Christian. I need a mentor or a spiritual director. I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to it already, go back all the way back in our archives, Taylor Marshall Show, episode one, How to Find a Spiritual Director. Go back to episode one. And it's not, I think, the best podcast. I think the podcasts have gotten better, and I'm definitely more relaxed now doing the podcast. But that podcast, episode one, will tell you how to find a great spiritual director. So if you've missed that one, go back to episode one. If you want to find all the archives, by the way, go to taylormarshall.com, taylormarshall.com. At the top of the page, click on Weekly Podcast. Scroll down and you'll see every single podcast that we've recorded and produced. And you'd want to go all the way to the bottom. You'll see episode number one, How to Find a Spiritual Director. Now, the second most helpful thing that y'all put here would be priests that are personable, friendly, or just concerned for me or my family. Remarkably, 52% of you said that this is what you need. It's the second biggest need you have in your life right now are priests that are personable, friendly, and concerned. Now, I know there are a lot of great priests out there, and even the really good ones have so many duties and are pulled in so many directions. But for all the priests who are listening, wow, do you hear this? People are saying, what I really need in my spiritual life right now is a priest who is personable, friendly, or just concerned for me and my family. And so what does that look like? Well, I can just kind of guess here because I didn't ask any further questions, but I think, you know, it has to do with smiling. You know, sometimes I know some priests that are really good and I respect them and love them, but they look stern. They look like they're angry. And maybe it's because they're tired. Maybe it's just the way their face naturally sits. But, you know, a happy look with the eyes, a smile can really, I think, help the lay people get fired up. You know, a hello, how are you doing? I don't think people here necessarily saying, I want the priest to come over to my house for dinner every other week. I want the priest to come to my kid's softball game. I don't think that's what people are asking for here. I think they're just asking for what it says here, personable, friendly, and concerned for me and my family. Okay, great. The third one, boy, I hope our priests don't feel beat up and our deacons. Our third one is better preaching. 50% said they would like better preaching. And this would be a good follow-up question. What do you mean by better preaching? Do you mean better rhetorical style? Do you mean more attention to the gospel readings? Do you mean more preparation? I don't know. Myself, being in the pews all the time, I would really like to see more attention to the gospel readings and maybe more preparation. But I would really like to see priests unpack the words of the four gospels every day or every Sunday. Because I think when we engage those words of Christ in the gospels, that's what transforms us and changes us. But it's hard to preach the gospels. It's really hard to preach it. But I think it would help people. It would really transform them. Okay, so number four was more clarity about controversial or difficult teachings. That was 48%. The next, better liturgy or music. That was 38% of people wanted that. More small groups, for example, singles group, young married group, youth groups. That was 37%. Finding a really strong or positive friend who could encourage me. That was about 31% or 485 people. The next one was freedom from fear about the future. So this is more of a psychological one. That was 28%. The next one was a good book on finding peace in Christ. So 25% or one out of four of you were like, you know what I really need is a good book on how to find peace in Christ. Good. Okay. And then 22% said that they what they really need is freedom from guilt about the past. Of course, the best way to do that is confession. And if you still struggle with it, a good spiritual director. And then here towards the end, it's interesting. The one last on the list, this surprised me, was this. Finding a really strong and positive spouse who could encourage me. That was the last one on the list. So the number one was finding a mentor or spiritual director. And the last one was finding a really strong and positive spouse. So very interesting. Thank you for everyone who participated. Again, 1,686 of you. Thank you so much for taking this survey, and I think we'll do more of these. And I really want to hone in on some of these and get more specific so I can know what you guys are thinking and maybe do some more podcasts on the results. So again, thanks for everyone who participated in that. And I think we're going to pause right there because we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to save that for a second podcast because it's already taken us quite a bit of time to go through the survey and analyze the results. Next week in part two, I'm going to have my wife Joy on with me, and we're going to talk about practical applications, practical ways in which you can have joy, and we're going to look at some scriptural passages, maybe some quotes, and give you some practical things to put into place to find everyday joy in Christ. Well, we're going to go now to our tip of the week. But before we do, I've got a couple announcements. The first is, two or three weeks ago, we had a webinar. A webinar is a live seminar on the web, and I announced it just less than a week before I planned it, and we had over 800 participants in the webinar. I gave an online, it was live, we were all in one big chat room, all of us. And it was live, and I gave a webinar address on how to share your Catholic faith effectively with your family and friends. And I gave tips on how to do this. It was a live webinar. It was absolutely amazing. I love the comments. I love the interaction. And we're going to be doing a lot more of those in the future. I don't know about a lot, but we're going to be doing them regularly because it was great. You know, people all over the world. We're in there live in this big, gigantic, it was essentially a Google Hangout. We just did a giant Google Hangout with 800 participants. I think there was close to 600 live, and then over several watched the rerun of it in the hours afterward. So everyone who was in there, thanks for coming. Be in the next one. And if you want to be notified of future webinars, go to Facebook and go search in the Facebook search bar, Dr. Taylor Marshall, that's me. Search in there and like my page, and that way you'll get notifications of webinars in the future. Okay, and then the second announcement is we still have room in our pilgrimage. I'm leading a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We're going to Jerusalem, Nazareth. We're going to go renew our baptismal vows at the Jordan River. We're going to renew our marriage vows at Cana, where Christ turned water into wine. And we're going to hit all the holy spots, Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, Golgotha, the Holy Sepulchre, all those places that you've heard about in Mass, that you've heard about in sermons, that you've heard about in the Bible, we're going to actually go there and touch them with our hands and learn about them. Now, this pilgrimage is special because it's not just a pilgrimage, it's also educational because we're going to have teaching there as well. I'm going to be giving addresses in the evenings, lectures, and we're going to have priests with us. We're going to have one of the Father Juan Diego of the CFRs, the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. We'll have Mass every day, confessions constantly. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. So if you're interested and you want to learn more or you want to reserve your spot, go to pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. Now, our tip of the week. Daily affirmations of grace and mercy. What do I mean by this? In the mornings, when I do my prayer, when you wake up, you need to have a little ritual, right? A little thing that you do every morning to get the day started correctly. And one of the things that I have in there, besides prayer and spiritual reading and a morning offering, are daily affirmations. So these are things that I say out loud to myself and to God to get myself ready for the day. And I'm not going to read them all to you because they're personal, but I'll read you some of the more generic ones so you get the idea. So the very first thing that I say in my daily affirmations or my declarations is this: God is an ocean of mercy surrounding me today. My soul is in God's hand. God is pouring sanctifying grace upon me. I open my soul and I receive it. Then I say, I accept the actual graces that God has prepared for me today. I will not become angry, discouraged, or depressed today because God will prosper me by the end of the day. Okay, so these are the things that I say. I say these things about myself, about my soul, about my body, about my wife, about my children, about my finances, about my loved ones, my family, my friends. I set the day up thinking these beautiful, positive thoughts that aren't just, you know, this isn't just like hypnosis. These are things that are true. For example, God really is an ocean of mercy and He really is surrounding me today. I need to remind myself of that reality. You know, for example, my soul is in God's hands. I need to say that out loud. I need to say it and say, God, I am in your hands. When you say that and you believe that at early in the morning, that changes the way you think about the day. The things that you're worried about, all the things you have to do during the day, they're put in perspective. So that's the tip of the day. These are daily affirmations. I call them affirmations of grace or affirmations of mercy, right? Every single day, wake up and say these things. And you should write your own. You know, don't just, you can copy mine if you like, that's fine. But there are personal things in your life that you need affirmations. And so find, you know, figure out what those are and then write them down on a piece of paper, put them in your Bible, put them in your Magnificat or put them in your Missal where you can find them and then use them. And by the way, don't make up a bunch of stuff that's not true, right? Make sure what you're saying is true. Make sure it's based on the Bible. It's based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And say those things, but make them apply to you personally. Okay? All right. So we are going to move on to we'll close up with our Latin word of the week. But I want to remind everyone, as I always do, there's a gift waiting for you at taylormarshall.com. If you haven't downloaded my book for free, it's Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. Please go to taylormarshall.com and download it now. It's in the upper right-hand corner. And also, if you like this podcast, if you're learning from it, please subscribe to it. It comes out every Wednesday. And if you go into iTunes and search Taylor Marshall Show, this show will come up and you can hit the subscribe button. It's totally free and you'll get this every Wednesday in your mobile device. Also, while you're there, I would appreciate if you'd give this podcast a rating. You can leave a review And you can give it a 1-star to a 5-star review. And I'd be thankful for any honest review that you could leave there. And I want to give a shout out to some of the people who have recently rated this podcast. I want to give a thanks to Candace Themesh. She gave a 5-star review and she said, "Taylor, it's energetic, educational, enjoyable. I've learned lots about myself with Taylor's self-improvement advice and real concern. He knows his Bible and he knows his Catholicism. I've grown in my knowledge of the Catholic faith and with Taylor's weekly podcast." So thanks so much, Candace. And also a shout out to Pixane. I think that's how you pronounce it. And she left a 5-star review and said, "Thanks for your podcast. I cannot really add to the wonderful comments already posted here. So I would just say thanks for giving us things to ponder and challenging us to be Christians who are fully alive." Well, amen. Thanks so much. And thanks to everyone who has left a review and a 5-star review over there at iTunes. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our Latin word of the week is quotidianus. Quotidianus means in Latin, daily, daily. Every single day we must take up our cross. Every single day we must find joy in the Lord. Every single day we should say these daily affirmations, these declarations that are true about God's love and mercy towards us. And so we should do that in a quotidianus, daily way, quotidianus. If you know the Our Father, the Pater Noster in Latin, we know right there it says, "Panem Nostrum quotidianum," our daily bread. It's the same word there. And you can see there, if you write it down, quotidianus, quote means like how many. And you can kind of see the word dies there, day. Quotidianus means basically every single day. All right. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned a little bit about joy. We're going to learn a whole lot more next week podcast, part 2. And until then, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.